The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. Valentine's Day is just around the corner, so shop now with BubbleGenius.com and pick up their Fresh Pick Suds Flower Soap Gift Pack. A selection of pretty flower soaps and a host of delicate floral scents, and you can carry your flower soaps with you in an adorable little reusable vinyl bag. Only $12 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code BobAndChez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Hey. Chez.
I'm sorry I started.
You were too late.
Not too late, I hope.
It's a minute or two. When you were tied up with anything?
No, sorry, I'm just late.
I ordered you the porterhouse.
Oh, no, I don't eat meat. I'll just have the penne.
Put your shit down. You should really try the steak. Ask Hugo to burn it on the outside.
Thanks, that's all right. I really don't eat meat. I'll just go ahead with the penne.
Spicy?
Yes, please. Good, thanks.
Let the big talk begin.
Have you seen this?
My file on you, Senator.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get it? Have you read it?
What do you have to say for yourself?
With all due respect, I'm Senator. It doesn't matter what I have to say for myself.
Oh, it doesn't? Well, it seems to me, Mr. Chairman, that all you can claim about me... claim is that I had sex while...
Deviant sex.
Oh, who? Deviant? Who says it was deviant?
I do. And what I say, the American people will believe. And you know why? Because I'll have a very big microphone in front of me.
On the internet, we're the tops. Wonderful is the hot one.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
It is Tuesday, January 19, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. I am Bob Seska. That is Chez Pazienza sitting right over there.
Hey there.
Get ready for the trolls, Mr. Pazienza. Get to that.
Oh, what? You mean the ones like the ones I've been dealing with for the past, like, what, 2 days?
I have a feeling you're getting a whole new onslaught of trolls. We'll get to that in a second. I'm getting ahead of myself here. We are brought to you each and every week by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best goddamn soap ever. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you need free legal advice, head over to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez or click the link on the podcast page. And all your legal questions shall be answered by Mr. Bowen. Okay, we're going to dive right in here because it's going to be another colossal show here. Too many things to talk about and not enough time. I guess... what I was referring to earlier is I'm told, and I don't have independent verification of this on my own, but evidently Tom Hartman spent an hour, his first hour, on your banter article about Bernie Sanders.
Well,
I mean, I love Tom Hartman. I mean, Tom Hartman's
you know
one
what?
Of the, like,
you know
the
what?
Gold standard.
You know what, though? Can we be honest right off the bat?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So banter is, you know, we have our viral pieces.
Yeah.
We do. Uh-huh. I have a piece that had 5 million views. You know, we occasionally hit the jackpot, but for the most part, let's face it, banter is a very, very small site.
Yeah.
The idea that Tom Hartman would focus on criticism from a pretty small site, and he would focus on it simply because it's critical of Bernie Sanders,
yeah,
is just... to me, that speaks volumes. To me, that's my victory. My victory is that Tom Hartman took an hour dissecting my piece just because it said something he didn't like about Bernie Sanders. And by the way, I like Tom Hartman. I've been on his show. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
I do not say this to throw shade at Tom Hartman. He's a good guy. Mm-hmm. I mean that.
Sure. I mean, but he's obviously a Bernie Sanders supporter. I mean, that's, in fact, the first time I heard about Bernie Sanders.
He's on RT and he's a Bernie Sanders supporter. I am shocked by that.
Well, he's actually been hosting Bernie Sanders every Friday on a show for, God, since I first started listening to Tom Hartman, which was back in 2006 on Sirius XM radio. And so he always does the Friday's brunch with Bernie segment, where Bernie Sanders is basically takes over an hour of Tom Hartman's show and answers calls. And that's right. Where I first learned about Bernie Sanders, and that's where I first started to like Bernie Sanders and to like Tom Hartman as well, of course. But
I like Bernie Sanders.
Exactly.
I do. I like Bernie a lot. I admire Bernie's principled stands.
Yeah. And but, you know, this is something that I'm not averse to going to this line of discussion. And I'll tell you this. It is not. How do I put it this way? It is not helpful to our listenership. We're not winning over all kinds of new fans by going down this road.
No, because there's this idea that if you're a true progressive, if you're a true liberal, which, by the way, I have never fucking once called myself a liberal or a true liberal.
Yeah.
But if you are a true liberal or true progressive, you got to back Bernie. You got to fight the establishment, man. And no, that's just garbage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here we are again. And I promised myself after the 2008 Democratic primary, promised myself I was never going to stick my face into another Democratic primary fracas again.
Because it was just.
But you know what? I mean, look, this is what we do. So this is what we write about. This is what we do for a living. And it's really gotten to the point now. Here a couple of weeks before the Iowa caucus, that it's really unavoidable. So the fact is that just to clarify everything, clarify the starting point of all of this, both of us like Bernie Sanders. Chez is a little more hardline about Bernie Sanders' prospects in the general than I am, though we both have been uber cautious and very critical of the idea that this guy can win in the general election. Yeah. Now,
also the idea that if he can't,
yeah,
if you believe that Bernie Sanders can't win and you are willing to throw the election away to this crop of lunatic Republicans, like I said the other day, please go bury yourself in sand and wait for the tide to come in.
Right.
Yep. You are a moron.
It's okay, I think, and certainly encouraged that if you like Bernie Sanders and you're into voting your conscience in the primary process,
sure,
knock yourself out. The thing is, though, I think that has to be tempered with a certain degree of reality that Bernie Sanders is indeed a long shot for the nomination. I still think that is very a very realistic point of view.
Yes.
And I also think that there are a number of factors in looking ahead to the general election that should give any Democrat pause, you know, regardless of your vote in the primary. And the reason is there are many more things that I believe a nominee Bernie Sanders will have to overcome to beat the Republicans than Hillary Clinton as a nominee will have to beat the Republicans. Certainly they have their own baggage coming into a general election.
Yes.
But there are three things that are basically working against Bernie Sanders at this point. And it's his fundraising pledge. That's a big one. And we talked about this last week. That's a very big one. How do you raise over $1 billion with just individual small donors? It's a challenge that Bernie Sanders has set up for himself that his supporters now believe he can do. And if he reneges on that, what kind of repercussions is he going to face from his absolutist supporters? Similar to what we saw when Barack Obama hedged on some of his more progressive ideas in 2008 and then into his presidency. We all saw how that all went down with Barack Obama, and certainly it would be foolish to believe that Bernie Sanders would somehow be given all kinds of additional latitude that Barack Obama was never afforded,
right,
as far as reneging on some of his more progressive, right, positions. Then there's the socialist thing, and I know he's a Democratic socialist, but the fact of the matter is he's going to be facing down a Republican Party establishment that turned a decorated Vietnam War hero, John Kerry, into an effete French-sounding tween girl.
Yeah.
And guess what? If you remember 2004, it effing stuck to John Kerry, and he couldn't shake it no matter what he did.
It worked. Clinton, being the presumptive nominee, has not faced the fire that the Republicans are going to put. Bernie hasn't faced the fire that the Republicans would put him through should they fear him, if they feared him.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Right now, they're actually, they're kind of, you know, he doesn't know it, but they're sort of conspiring to make sure that he gets the nomination. Mm. And they're doing it because they know they can destroy him.
Yeah.
Once he gets out, if he were to get out into the general, or if he were even to rise to a place where the Republicans feared him, they would eat him alive.
Yeah.
They would absolutely eat him alive. And it doesn't, you know, that one of the biggest sort of series of comments that I got from my piece the other day was everybody, you know, well, what about FDR? Four terms, FDR. As if America is the same country it was 75 years ago.
Yeah.
Definitely. It just is not. You are dealing with a different Republican Party now. You are dealing with a different kind of politics and a different culture in this country.
Yep, absolutely.
And I'm sorry, as I said in my piece, you know what? When you intelligent, thoughtful, rational people, when you explain to them what a democratic socialist is, they might go, oh, it doesn't sound so bad. Mm-hmm. But America is not a country of intelligent, thoughtful, rational people.
Right.
It's a country of lunatics. It's a country of people who are easily terrified. And that's exactly what the right would do.
Yeah.
The Republican Party would, all they would do, that Democratic part of it, and by the way, they've already made Democratic a pejorative anyway,
mm-hmm.
it would just become socialist.
Yeah.
And that's all anybody would hear.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? And there are things that Bernie wouldn't be able to defend. Like, you know what? He wants single payer. He wants to do all these things for it. He wants free tuition. He wants all that. Fantastic. In order to pay for that, your taxes go up. And they go up extraordinarily. And he said that that's not a problem for him. And that, and I'm not even saying I disagree with him. I'm just saying that once the Republicans get a hold of that and make that known to everybody and never stop hammering that home, Bernie's dead in the water.
Okay, yeah, I want to get to the point about the Republicans because Steve Bannon on Mattoblog had a really good article today about what's going on the GOP side with regard to Bernie. And I mean, it's obvious, and it's been obvious since May. I think it was around May when this was first reported that the Republican political action committees and some of the operatives, especially this group called America Rising, have been actively not only promoting Bernie Sanders and bashing Hillary Clinton, but also infiltrating liberal circles with anti-Clinton memes.
Right.
And this has been going on across social media, all over the internet. And this is something that's also happening at the grassroots level as well. And it's not just America Rising. It's also Karl Rove's group, American Crossroads, that's airing commercials that are damaging to Clinton and helpful to Bernie Sanders. And this is all because, oh, then there was Ralph Reed on Real Time with Bill Maher Friday night talking about how he wants Bernie Sanders to be president. Now, there is
a Bernie candidacy in the general election. Is that's the Republican dream come true.
Right. Because they're going to really easily be able to characterize the guy.
They're going to think about it. They have been characterizing Barack Obama as a socialist.
Yeah.
Wrongly for 7 years. They are chomping at the bit to get a hold of a person they can actually call a socialist, like who really is a socialist.
Yeah.
And you won't deny it.
Now, granted, stranger things had happened. I say this as a qualifier because the Democrats did elect Barack Obama, an African-American with a middle name, Hussein. So it is possible for an outlier to get in there.
It's very possible. The difference is that, and this is, again, oh God, I've heard all of these arguments, I've heard them because I've been fending them off for the past 2 days.
Uh-huh.
The difference is that Barack Obama was a once in a generation candidate, and he was inspirational.
Yeah.
And that mattered. You know, he spoke from a place of hope, from a place of positivity.
Yeah.
You know, what he wanted for America was really what Americans want for America, even if they don't always realize it. And Bernie, on the other hand, is nothing but rage. You know, and again, I don't think he's wrong in that rage. I think that there are things that are wrong with us that need to be fixed. And I happen to agree with a lot of his stances, not all, but a lot. And but he comes from this. His temperament is that of a curmudgeonly old man who everything is wrong. He's going to tear down everything that Obama built. He actually said that. You know, he said that he is going to dismantle a lot of what Obama accomplished.
Yeah.
Because he believes that a revolution is needed from the ground up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, certainly.
Which is a great sell to the emo prog millennial idiots who, you know, oh man, Barack Obama, you know, what a phony. He didn't give us hope, you know, that kind of bullshit. Mm-hmm. It sounds great to them, but to really everybody else, it should give them pause.
Yeah.
We should just be like, wait, really? Because Obama did a hell of a lot of good.
Well, I mean, here's the third factor. I brought up the first two things, the first of which being fundraising, which Bernie Sanders is going to have a hard time competing against the Republicans on money. And money matters. While there's still money in politics, you got to play the game.
Yep.
I mean, you really do. And it's sad to have to say that, but it's true. Then the other factor, of course, is the socialism factor. Third factor is polling and news cycles. Now, this is really important because we're still 11 months out from the general election. Anything can happen in the news. Now, let's imagine a scenario of two different news events happening between now and then. First thing, maybe it's not as bad as 2008, but what if there's another financial crash precipitated by Wall Street? And then what if there's some sort of international crisis? All right, here's a situation where Democratic nominee Bernie Sanders would do really well with the first one.
You're right.
The financial sector crash. But he would do very poorly next to the Republicans if there were some big foreign policy disaster.
Yeah, well, Clinton would do very well, and that
Clinton would do well on both things.
Right. That's good. That's a good point. And you know, the thing about Clinton is that she is a, you know, like her or not, she is a well-rounded candidate. Bernie is absolutely, and I don't think even his staunchest supporters would disagree with me on this. Bernie is a pretty much a one-note candidate. And when you hit him on something, when you ask him a question about something that doesn't involve it, – it's almost a fun like drinking game to play. Watch him get asked a question on something other than wealth inequality in this country. And he miraculously figures out a way to take it back to that, to turn the conversation back to that, because that is, as somebody, you know, a guy who's been covering him forever in Vermont wrote a really great article that I linked to in my piece, mm-hmm. where he said, he's like, this was a different one. This is about his temperament. But New York Magazine wrote a really good article written by somebody who knows him very well and said, mm-hmm. he's like, Bernie basically thinks about wealth inequality from the minute he gets up in the morning until he goes to sleep at night. That is his sole concern in this world.
Yeah. And you know what? That's fine with me. I mean, again, I'm not against Bernie Sanders in terms of his politics. I'm not against Bernie Sanders in terms of his goal. I'm not against Bernie Sanders in general at all.
Neither am I.
I mean, and the fact of the matter is,
I don't dislike him.
All I'm doing here, I'm just speaking from the perspective of caution. That's entirely what informs my opinion right now. And I don't feel like the stakes are too high to, I believe, roll the dice even in the slightest way. Let's say that Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton have an equal chance to beat the Republican. But there are all these factors that could make Bernie Sanders' odds descend precipitously should they occur. Whereas Hillary Clinton is a little more, I don't want to say invincible, but a little less vulnerable to odd variables throughout, you know, a long, long general election cycle.
That's a very good point. And you know what? And you that's a great point that you made. How would Bernie Sanders handle something big that happened that did not involve the economy? Yeah. How would he handle a global or a national calamity?
Let's say there's a terrorist attack, or say there's we have to conduct something awful happens in Syria, and we have to conduct increased bombing raids and things like that. Some big international thing where people are looking for safety and security. And is Bernie Sanders going to be able to provide that as well as Hillary Clinton is? And if it's not Hillary Clinton, will the Republicans see that as an opening and wedge themselves in there and take over the lead in the general election, which, generally speaking, Republicans do better when there's some sort of international crisis.
They do.
So, you know, this the words of caution. And what I want to do is I want to spend one more segment, maybe even not even the whole segment, but I want to spend one more segment talking about Bernie Sanders' single-payer health care plan and detailing, you know, specifically what kind of roadblocks are in the way preventing that from actually happening too, even though I do loudly support the idea of a single-payer healthcare system. We're going to take a short break and come back with that right after this. Okay, let's talk about Harry's Razors. One great way to start the new year is by saving money, and I know how to save you a bunch. Go to harrys.com and buy your shaving supplies there. There's a reason stores keep their blades locked in one of those glass cases. It's because they're so overpriced, some people have done bad things to get them. The rest of us just went to the counter and paid too much. But with Harry's, we can all get high-quality, German-engineered, five-blade cartridges delivered to our doorsteps for half the price of Gillette. Half the price, and without leaving the house. Because with Harry's, there's no middleman. The blades go right to you from the factory. And if you use the code REALM at checkout, that's R-E-L-M, Harry's will knock an additional $5 off your first order. I shaved with Harry's this morning, just as I have every day for months, and I couldn't be happier with the quick, smooth, and comfortable shave, and with the money I save. I even subscribe to have the blades automatically sent on a schedule I set, and I can adjust it at will. Join me and the millions of other guys who have switched to Harry's, and a lot of their wives and girlfriends as well, by the way. First-timers, get this great Harry's razor, three cartridges, a blade protector, and Harry's shave gel for just $10. But only if you check out with the code REALM, R-E-L-M, at harrys.com. That's H-A-R-R-Y-S.com.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Welcome back to the show today, on our Tuesday show. Thanks for joining us, as always. Well, I'm running down the road. Okay, so Bernie Sanders, just before the Democratic debate Sunday night, released his plan for single-payer health care, basically referring to it as Medicare for All. Some interesting ideas in terms of how he's going to pay for it, and mostly the plan was about how he intended to pay for it. And even Bernie Sanders during the debate was saying, sort of part of the plan. It wasn't the whole plan. It was just the important how we're going to pay for it part of the plan. And that
plan, as it was released, is kind of a mess.
It's incomplete, is what it is. And the problem is that I think Andrea Mitchell during the debate misrepresented the middle class tax increase, which would be, I think, by 2.2% per year. That would be the tax hike for the middle class. The fact of the matter is that the savings in premiums would be greater than the amount of the tax hike. So there would actually be a savings overall for middle class families. But at the same time, I mean, imagine trying to pass that through Congress just as its own, just like standing on its own. What if we wanted to increase taxes, not even attaching it to a single payer health insurance plan, but just saying, okay, we're going to raise the income tax rate. Basically, the marginal tax rate for the top bracket goes from 37% to 52%. That the 52% bracket is for earners at $10 million or more, 48% tax bracket for people earning between $2 million and $10 million, 43% tax on income between $500,000 and $2 million, and a 37% tax on people earning $250,000 to $500,000. That's a pretty big tax increase. And while I would love to see that actually happen, because it makes perfect sense, people earning $10 million can afford to pay 52% as their marginal tax rate, knowing that their actual tax rate will not be anywhere near that because of tax deductions and things like that. Then he's also going to raise capital gains tax and limit tax deductions. There's going to be a responsible estate tax. It's going to raise $21 billion per year. So the problem is, how do we do it? And the one thing, and it's kind of intuitive to say this, but the fact of the matter is that the biggest obstacles to Barack Obama passing the Affordable Care Act in 2009 and into 2010 were the Blue Dog Democrats. Now, let's say that there is some big groundswell, there's some big national event, international event that propels Bernie Sanders to the presidency. He's got long coattails, bunch of Democrats come into the Senate, come into the House of Representatives with him. And it's sort of a 2008 kind of watershed year where suddenly we have a 60-vote majority in the Senate. We've got a strong majority of Democrats in the House of Representatives. They're filibuster-proof. Okay? That happens. We go in, Bernie Sanders says, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pass a single-payer health care plan. It's going to have this tax increase, including tax increases on the middle class to pay for it. How does he get that passed? The Blue Dog Democrats, the moderate Democrats, especially those Democrats who are in states like Nebraska, which was one of the biggest issues in the 2009 Affordable Care Act fight.
Right.
How do you get states like Nebraska, where the health insurance industry basically owns the state, to sign on to something like that? I mean, and that's the problem. And then you say, well, for example, Bernie Sanders asks for single payer and then he has to compromise. Well, are his most vocal supporters going to go along with that compromise, or are they going to say that he sold out and we should kill the bill?
No, that's what I said. That was a piece that I wrote, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, something like that, which is that once Bernie becomes president, his supporters will turn on him. Because he, in order to get anything at all done, if he wanted to, and he may not, he may just be, you know what, it's all or nothing, and which is why his supporters love him so much. But if he did, if he compromised to get something done, to get something out of his agenda, to see some of his agenda come to fruition, if he did that, his supporters would scream bloody murder. They would shout betrayal. They would, Obama got. And I mean, you know, and I think that's a really important thing to go back and look at the Barack Obama presidency and use that to sort of compare and contrast, or use that as a guide to show you what a Bernie Sanders presidency would be like. Because Barack Obama wanted to make incremental good changes. You know, he wanted to do some things for the better. And he attempted to compromise and he got shot down again and again and again.
Yep.
And he wasn't looking for the moon. He wasn't shooting for it.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders wants everything. Bernie Sanders wants to fundamentally transform America, which, by the way, not saying it doesn't deserve to be transformed. Mm-hmm. The problem is the second he gets in front of a bunch of Republicans who say, no, that's not, you know, and like you said, blue dog Democrats as well.
Yeah.
People, put it this way, people who are not in Vermont, people who are not in New York City or L.A. or San Francisco, those, you know, the real America Ted Cruz talks of, the people who were terrified of socialism, terrified of all that. Once he gets in front of, the people who represent those people, he has to face them. That's it. It's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
You know, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I'm trying to get information to convince me that Bernie Sanders can win, because quite honestly, as someone who is effed 90 different ways by the Great Recession, I want Bernie Sanders to win and I want Bernie Sanders to be successful. I'm not willing yet to cast my vote for him and take the chance because I'm not convinced yet that he can actually win. And I'm talking about the general election, not the nomination process. Right. You know, there is a chance that he could win the nomination process, I guess. I mean, you know, it looks pretty tight in Iowa and New Hampshire. Still too early to get a read on anything beyond South Carolina. But the fact of the matter is, I really, really am cautious because I do not want the Republicans to win the presidency. They do that, it is the apocalypse. It is a political apocalypse in the United States.
It is.
And that is exactly what's going to happen.
These Republicans, absolutely.
Yes.
If we were talking about Ronald Reagan years ago, we could survive that. I mean,
Sure.
There was a time when the Republicans were just, you know,
well, they were
sane, where they were at least maybe, you know, maybe you had differences of opinions with them, but they were sane.
Yeah,
they wanted was reasonable.
And if you had split government, they were willing to compromise with Congress in order to get things done, and which is great. I mean, that's the sort of moderate government that's always been, with some exceptions, been successful in the United States. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, there is some really early polling about, you know, Hillary versus the Republicans, Bernie versus the Republicans. I don't know how accurate that is. I mean, again, we're 11 months out. They don't know who Bernie Sanders is yet. A lot of people. Then you're also getting a lot of Republicans.
No, there are a lot of people who just don't like Hillary Clinton.
Exactly. That's exactly right. But I think Hillary Clinton as a politician has strengths to defeat the Republicans. I mean, basically, here's this. Hillary Clinton is a known commodity. Bernie Sanders is completely unknown. So whatever polling support I think that you see for Bernie Sanders is based on partly on the fact that, well, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, I don't know. So, all right, Bernie, this guy Bernie. I'm kind of just reading the tea leaves here. But, I've been following this for long enough. Chez has been following this long enough that we kind of know where the trends are just from observation. And I'm really worried. It just makes me nervous as hell. Makes me nervous as hell to put someone up there who's such a gimme for the Republicans. It's a gimme. If Bernie Sanders gets the nomination. Yes, Hillary Clinton has her baggage. Hillary Clinton has her vulnerabilities. But the fact of the matter is that Hillary Clinton, again, is a known commodity and has been really cutting her teeth for 30 years against the Republicans on the presidential level.
That's it. Exactly. Exactly.
So we'll see. We'll see. Well, we've got...
I know she gets a lot of crap for being... she's establishment. You know, she's a political animal. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I want someone who I know can be... I'm assured knows how to weather the storm that Republicans are going to throw at her. Yeah. Because she has been weathering it for two decades.
And by the way, those of you on Twitter who are calling me a Hillary Clinton establishment shill, you can go F yourself. You know, go F yourself with a cinder block. Because I tell you what. Because you know what? Look, all you got to do is go back to what I wrote. I basically for 5-6 months in 2007 into 2008 about how terrible Hillary Clinton was. So now I'm going to piss off the Hillary Clinton people by saying this, too. There's no win, and I don't care. At this point, I just don't give a shit about pissing off liberals on either side. The fact of the matter is, I know. But I'm no Hillary fan either. I mean, and there's a record to prove that. So don't make it out as if I'm just crapping all over Bernie Sanders because I want Hillary Clinton to win. I want, you know, the Democrat I want to win? The Democrat who's going to destroy the Republicans. Destroy them so there's nothing but charred bones left. It's going to look like Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru by the end of the general election cycle.
I agree. I want someone to put them in their place.
Yeah.
Because I think that, I mean, you know, and it's a waste. It's a complete waste to say this, say that, you know, maybe they'll finally come around. Maybe they'll finally come around and realize just how badly they've let the party stray.
Right.
But that's not going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I honest to God think that, you know, I've got lots of opinions. But this opinion, I think, comes from a very sincere and honest place. And if you're going to stop listening to this show, or if you're going to boycott us, or if you're just going to tell all your friends to not even bother listening to this podcast, because Chez and I are trying to be realistic, we're also, you know what, we also kind of do a comedy show. So we're trying, there might be some giggling at Bernie Sanders, and quite frankly, there'll be some giggling at Hillary Clinton if she's the nominee too. So just chill out. We're all on the same team, ultimately. When it comes right down to it, we all want to beat the Republicans, and that's the bottom line. So let's just hash it out as grown-ups, you know, as reasonable people who maybe disagree on who's the best nominee for the Democrats at this point. We're gonna dive into the Republicans after a short break, back right after this. Okay, let's talk about supporting independent media. For only $1 a month, you can help finance the Bob and Chez show at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's 12 cents per show. Go now to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez. And sign up for $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, or $15 a month, or whatever you can afford. If you sign up for $5 or more, you'll get special Patreon-only shows like our post-mortem wrap-up show, the Not Safe for Work after-party show, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of the free Tuesday and Thursday shows. Most of all, you'll be supporting a totally independent podcast not affiliated with corporate media. And if we reach our $7,500 per month goal, we'll bring you new shows 5 days a week, Mondays through Fridays. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Oh my God, yes. Hey, hi. The second half of today's show is brought to you by the bobseska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, enter the site using our link and go shopping. It's just below the logo at bobseska.com, and we get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing and helps support the show. Thank you. Thank you for helping us out. Really, really appreciate it. And by all means, for God's sake, go to patreon.com. Send all of your friends to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Share it on Facebook. Retweet it on Twitter. And tell them. All it takes, you want to support independent media, you want to support this podcast, 12 cents a show. Sign up for $1 a month. We'll love you just the same as the people who signed up for $15 a month. Sign up at $1 a month. It's 12 cents a show. 12 cents. A bargain at twice the price. We pass the savings along to you. Okay. So, all right, what's next here? So, oh, yes, Sarah Palin, big surprise, is endorsing Donald Trump for president, which is...
It's just staggering that in the year 2016, we still... The word Sarah Palin just came out of your mouth.
Yeah, I know. It's
how are we still talking about Sarah fucking Palin?
I don't know. I don't know. We should bring up this music, though. In fact, as we do the show, I believe there's a Trump rally going on. Now that I check in here, Donald Trump is actually speaking at the rally, and Sarah Palin is supposed to appear with him at this rally.
What a giant cornucopia of gibberish that must be.
Let's check in. It doesn't look like Sarah Palin's on the stage. It does look like Donald Trump is talking. Of course, the audio is really low, or I'm going deaf, one or the other. And I'm gonna turn off the MSNBC music here. And,
a spectacular person.
Yeah, I can barely hear it.
But then the polls came awesome. Out, and some of them, as an example, national polls, 38%.
Keep fucking Trump talking about the horse race, as always. God damn it. You know, that never used to happen. That never used to happen in elections where the president was getting up there, you know, or the presidential candidate was getting up there reviewing his poll numbers for the audience.
Of course not.
Look, here's how great I'm doing. I'm doing really good. The Iowa poll. Let me tell you about the Quinnipiac poll. Is that how you say it, Quinnipiac? So we'll see. We should get a lot of fun Sarah Palin audio for the next couple of months. God, she's going to be out on the stump with Donald Trump. On the stump with Trump. I wouldn't be surprised if he nominated her for vice president.
Oh, that would be awesome. Just please do that.
Just to troll people. So, in other news, Trump spoke at Liberty University on Monday, which is significant because it was Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It was a national holiday in honor of MLK. And Liberty University was founded by Oral Roberts, who supported segregation and apartheid.
Yep.
And this is where Donald Trump chooses to speak on MLK Day.
Of course.
Plus, then he completely botched the Bible quote to pander to the Christian wing nuts at Liberty University. Called it, instead of 2 Corinthians, he referred to it as 2 Corinthians. He said, 2 Corinthians, right? 2 Corinthians 3:17. That's the whole ball game. Where the Spirit of the Lord, right? Where the Spirit of Lord is, there is liberty. And here there is Liberty College or Liberty University. Got the name of the college wrong. Called it Liberty College, and then he corrected himself and said Liberty University. He said, is that the one? Is that the one you like? I think that's the one you like. I loved it. Talking about 2 Corinthians. Oh,
by
God.
The way, Jerry Falwell founded Liberty University.
Oh, Jerry Falwell. Yes, that's right. Yeah. Jerry Falwell.
But same.
Yeah, same guy.
Yeah, Oral Roberts, Jerry Falwell.
I tend to lean
towards... Oral Roberts is the one who saw the 900-foot Jesus in Tulsa.
That's right. And also his first name is Oral.
Yes, and God told him that if his flock doesn't give him a certain amount of money, God is going to call him home.
All right. So, Trump tweeted that Chief Justice John Roberts, appointed by George W. Bush, is a liberal. So just a reminder that Ted Cruz supported liberal Justice John Roberts, who gave us Obamacare.
The man just knows nothing about anything. He's absolutely lost.
Liberal Chief Justice John Roberts.
That's, he knows nothing about anything. All he knows how to do is talk about himself.
That's right. We're going to break one last time, and then when we come back, have you seen the new Rand Paul ad?
I have not, no.
The new Rand Paul ad is, well, it's insane. It's a cartoon. Rand Paul released a cartoon ad. Hitting Ted Cruz, of all people. Could talk about that right after a short break, back after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us today. I was just scrolling through Facebook during the break and noticed a CNN WMUR poll that is clearly an outlier. It's got Bernie Sanders winning New Hampshire 60% to 33%.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, believe me, I've seen that circulated already, too.
Yeah, and I don't know. Is this... this is a new poll. I mean, this is not an old story that inadvertently gets posted on Facebook. This is a new thing, and I'm trying to stop this before it autoplays. But Bernie Sanders' lead over Hillary Clinton in New Hampshire is on the rise, with the Vermont senator leading the former Secretary of State by 27 points, 60% to 33%. The new poll, mostly conducted before Sunday night's debate, found Sanders' support has grown by 10 points since late November, early December, which found Sanders holding 50% to Clinton's 40%. New Hampshire Democrats' views on the race are solidifying as well, with 52% saying they've definitely decided who they'll support, up from 36% who felt that way in early December. Among those voters, Sanders holds an even broader 64% to 35% lead. Well, obviously, New Hampshire was a state that is more likely to go for Bernie Sanders than not, because he's from Vermont, or that's not literally from there originally, but obviously he's the senator from Vermont, so that plays into his hand as well. And so we'll see how this goes. But I mean, the fact of the matter is that there's always a strong chance that Bernie Sanders wins New Hampshire. How he performs beyond these first two, well, the Iowa caucus, New Hampshire right. primary. Is really where everything's at, because it's
Nate
not
Silver. Nate Silver specifically did an article a while back, that said Bernie can win Iowa and New Hampshire, but ellipses,
right?
You know, and I mean, keep in mind, you know, Bill Clinton didn't win Iowa, didn't win New Hampshire in '92.
That's right. Right here, he's got Nate Silver's got. Bernie Sanders on the rise. His chance of winning is up to 47% to Clinton's 53%. And again, these are odds. These are not poll numbers. Martin O'Malley dealing with less than 1% in New Hampshire chance of winning. Martin O'Malley, I'm okay. If the Democrats are going to do another debate, and I'm not sure if they are, I believe they are. But if they do, they can't invite Martin O'Malley. I mean, come on. I mean, I think he's hiding something. I don't know what. There's just something that something that's imperceptive about Martin O'Malley. Seems like he's a big...
He's wearing women's underwear.
There's nothing phony baloney about Martin O'Malley, and I'll tell you what it is. This is how Martin O'Malley delivers an answer to any debate question. And by the way, it's a complete waste of time to have him on the debate stage anyway, because he's got zero chance of winning anything. But he starts out with sad Martin. He's like, he looks down, stares down at his podium, gets a sad look on his face, he goes... Let me tell you something. I've got a quote here from the great Frederick Douglass, who once went to my home city of Baltimore. And in Baltimore, we did lots of great things. We had fountains of chocolate in the town squares, and we solved crime, and we got rid of drugs, and we did lots of great things. And I'm Martin O'Malley. Vote for me. And he's able to go right from that sad face into the happy, smirky Martin O'Malley face in like 3 seconds. I've never seen anything like it. It's amazing. Also proves to me that he's got you know what he's got? He's got the John Edwards thing going on. We all know where that went.
Yeah.
But anyway, so no more Martin O'Malley at the debates. Okay, moving along here. there's this new Rand Paul commercial. And I know Rand Paul, speaking about non-entities anymore, Rand Paul has no chance of winning anything.
Right.
But for some reason, Rand Paul's decided to hit his buddy Ted Cruz. Not sure exactly why. Maybe this is an effort that's coordinated with the Trump campaign. No idea. There's really no way that Rand Paul is competing against Ted Cruz in any way, shape, or form. And also, this ad convinces me that Rand Paul is done and he's out of money because it's the cheapest ad he could possibly do. It's a cartoon with two stick figures standing in the middle of nowhere. Like, there's like two pine trees and a desert vista behind them for some reason. And they don't move at all. All that happens is their mouths move open and closed. And then they've got that voice simulator thing where it's like a British, like for the man, it's like a British robot voice.
So it's like they're doing like the AT&T text to speak.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. I remember there was a thing going around social media for a while where people were doing that, where it was like the little CG, like the two bears talking to each other with the CG voices, and people were using that for memes. Well, it's kind of like that. And the whole idea is that we should audit the TED.
Oh, my God.
Instead of auditing the Fed, they want to...
It's so funny that he naturally assumes that everyone out there will get that shibboleth.
Right. That he not only wants to audit the Fed, which is the most insane, like one of the conspiracy theory things.
Right.
Everyone wants, like Alex Jones and all those guys, they want to audit the Fed. They don't even know why.
Right.
It's just, yeah, it's like you said, it's a shibboleth. Like, oh, he wants to audit the Fed? Well, great, I'm with him. Let's get the chemtrails too. So here's this ad about audit the Ted, obviously having to do with the money that Ted Cruz took from Goldman Sachs and some of the donations he received from Wall Street, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Here's that robot ad.
Did you hear about audit the Fed?
Yes, Rand Paul is trying to stop the out of control Fed.
Wow.
Do others support?
I fucking hate this already. This is just ridiculous.
It's
what the
terrible.
Hell is he doing?
I don't know. This is an official Rand Paul ad.
What audit the Fed too?
The Ted Cruz says so, but did not show up to vote.
Why did he not show up?
He was too busy campaigning.
By the way, yes, that's right. Rand Paul is hitting Ted Cruz because Ted Cruz missed the vote in the Senate on a resolution to audit the Fed. I hate Ted Cruz with a passion, but not showing up for a resolution to audit the Fed.
Yeah.
I give him a pass on that. So it's okay. It's okay.
Campaigning costs money. Where does the Ted Cruz get his money from?
Where does the Ted Cruz? He says. It's the text to speech thing gone awry. Where does the Ted Cruz get his money?
They should, if they, you know what? Somebody should have been, wow. They should have been smart enough to just type in C-R-U-I-S-E.
Right.
And it would have said it correctly.
Exactly. I mean, we used one of those things for the after party, the bumper at the top of the after party.
Right.
And I had to, I couldn't possibly spell Ches Pazienza the way it's traditionally spelled. I had to do it phonetically so the thing would pronounce
That's
it correctly.
Exactly, yes.
But he's also, in addition to saying Ted Cruz, he's saying the Ted Cruz. For some reason, they're referring to Ted Cruz as the Ted Cruz. I have no idea why.
It's like when you go to like YTMND or one of those Chan type sites, mm-hmm. and they have people who've used text to speech to say really filthy things, and the women always say, "I want to lick up your cum." Next time, just try spelling it C-O-M-E.
I hear Wall Street money. Millions. Even 1 million from the Goldman Sachs.
Does the Goldman Sachs want to audit the Fed?
Now they're referring to Goldman Sachs as the Goldman Sachs.
All right.
I don't even know. What? I don't know.
First
don't
of all, is Rand Paul campaigning in London? Why do these two stick figures have British accents?
Is Rand Paul, like, campaigning to legalize LSD?
Probably. Well, actually, I think he is.
I don't think so. They are the Fed.
Why does Ted Cruz take their money if they are the Fed?
I don't know.
Why does Ted Cruz take their money if they are the Fed? He's basically saying that the Goldman Sachs is the Fed. I don't understand that one either.
We totally have to create our own commercial then, using text-to-speech. And you're an animator. We can put together something great.
Yeah, it takes about 2 seconds to put together animation like that. Good God.
That is strange.
When Ted Cruz ran for Senate, he did not legally disclose a loan he took from the Goldman Sachs.
How much did Ted Cruz take from the Goldman Sachs?
Why is it that the woman can say it and the man can't?
Why does Ted Cruz take money from the Goldman Sachs?
Is this really an honest... Is this like, at the end of it, are we going to hear, I'm Rand Paul and I approve this message?
It's absolutely a Ted Cruz ad. No, a Rand Paul ad.
Because if it really is, wow, yeah. He's just fucking giving up. He's just screwing with people now.
Yeah. Well, they made a website, an Audit the Ted website, the Rand Paul campaign. Those guys are supposed to be allies. I mean, they filibuster with each other all the time.
Right.
With their hands down each other's pants while they're doing it. Makes the time pass more quickly.
$1 million.
Wow. What does this mean?
It means Ted Cruz receives favors from the special interests.
So why do they call him a grassroots candidate?
I don't know.
But doesn't he claim to be against the establishment?
Yes.
Then which candidate for president is the grassroots candidate?
I hear good things about the Rand Paul. He is
now it's the Rand Paul.
This is insane.
I hear good things about the Rand Paul. As opposed to the Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz.
For individual liberty, the free market, and auditing the Fed.
Yes, I like this Rand Paul. And his hair. Maybe he should audit the Ted as well.
Wow.
Yes, I think we need to audit the Ted.
I mean,
they like his hair too.
I've got to give him credit in some ways because this is the perfect ad to run.
Yeah.
For like millennials who will meme the shit out of it. It's so fucking weird.
Yeah, really weird. Wow. Really weird. I mean, it is something that'll virally get spread around because it is so.
Right.
I mean, actually, come to think of it, that's what really works. Yeah, by the way,
utterly surreal.
I'm double checking. This is on the official Rand Paul YouTube page.
Hey, I'm Rand Paul.
It's probably
brilliant. I want to see what this Rand Paul video is. It automatically started playing, and now I'm intrigued because he's wearing a black T-shirt with white lettering on it that says Detroit Republican.
Hey, I'm Rand Paul, and I'm trying to kill the tax code, all 7,000 pages of it. If you want to know more about my plan...
Oh, this is the video where he shreds the tax... He puts the tax code into the leaf shredder. I'm Rand Paul, and I'm going to audit the Fed, and then I'm going to shred the tax code. What? You know what? I'm still trying to figure out his goddamn accent. Can anyone explain his accent to me? It's like Texas meets, like, Southern California surfer. I don't understand the Rand Paul accent. Don't get any of it. Okay, so let's see. What else? One more thing until before we wrap up the show. There was another incident with the Ted Cruz actually wheeled out his JFK impression again.
Oh, good.
This is now
I think I saw you wrote about that.
Yeah, we talked about this on the after party. He did the Princess Bride impression, and then he did a JFK impression. And he did the exact same impression the other day.
Excellent.
And not only is it painful, and not only did he get completely wrong JFK's legacy as a liberal, but he got the quote wrong again. Here's Ted Cruz doing his awful JFK impression. It's flop sweat inducing, I'll warn you right now.
By the way, I will point out in the 1960s, one of the most powerful, eloquent defenders of tax cuts was John F. Kennedy. Yep.
Now, by the way, he wasn't one of the most powerful defenders of tax cuts. He did pass tax cuts. He did one tax cut plan that actually ended up passing, reduced the income tax marginal rates by, I don't know what it was, from 90, the top bracket from 90% down to 60% or something. But he was very much a liberal across the board, more liberal than our current president, more liberal than Hillary Clinton. There are scholarly political science articles written about how liberal JFK was. Ted Cruz is full of crap. Full of crap.
As JFK said, some men see things as they are.
Oh, my God.
Oh my God.
And ask why. I see things that never were, and ask why not.
Woo, yay. Woo. God. One more thing here.
JFK would be a Republican today.
Yes.
Oh, yes. All right. Shit. Blow up that tank.
Yeah, and Ronald Reagan would be a Democrat.
Right, well, sure. And I think the funniest thing about that video was the end where everyone was like, yeah, he would. Yeah, exactly.
Look,
JFK.
If you're supporting Ted Cruz to the point where you are actually at one of his rallies, you're not very bright.
No.
So the idea that they're applauding and laughing and just that kind of makes sense.
That's right.
Considering what their brain is doing at that moment, which is the hamsters trying very desperately to get off its ass and turn the wheel.
If you've been taken in by Ted Cruz, you probably shouldn't be allowed to operate heavy machinery. Just a word of warning. You see someone with a Ted Cruz bumper bumper sticker on the back of their car, leave a wide berth for that driver because they're likely going to be driving on the sidewalk pretty soon. I'm doing a public service for motorists today.
Yep.
All right, we have a pretty big postmortem show. Lots of stuff we didn't get to here on the free show. We're going to talk about this Trump supporter in Nebraska who's got a anti-Obama sign with the N-word on it. And he actually speaks to Channel 6, which is the NBC affiliate in Omaha, Nebraska, admits that he's a racist. Plus, Hugh Hewitt thinks that fact-checking the GOP debates is irrelevant. And maybe some Jeb Bush, if we have some time to get to it. Jeb Bush fumbling yet again, like the sad clown that he is. The big-headed doofus. Jeb Bush, who has no chance of winning whatsoever. That's coming up on the Postmortem Show. You can sign up at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. If you want to hear the Postmortem Show, it has to be at the $5 level per month or higher. You'll also get the Postmortem Show and the After Party if you sign up at $10 per month. You get the Postmortem Show, the After Party, and a commercial-free, not-safe-for-work version of this show if you sign up at $15 per month. But if you only have enough money to sign up for $1 a month, we will love you long time. Just the same as everyone else. It's only 12 cents per show. You support independent media, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So please go do it. We'll see you on the Postmortem Show in just a few seconds by now.
Goodbye.